RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the tailgate, NFL Week 17. 670 The Score. I'm in studio. Great to be back in Chicago. Great time of year. Here with Tyler, I'm Paul Pabst. Shot out of a cannon. Post-Christmas. You don't know what day it is. You kind of know the date. You don't know what the day it is. All you know is you schedule your life by the next bowl game or Bears game or NFL game. I really don't even know, except for working this job, what day of the week it is. 670 The Score. I'm Paul Pabst. This is the tailgate. Back in Chicago for the week, the energy in town is absolutely fantastic, and the Bears are totally responsible. Coming up in 20 minutes on the show, this is a special special one for us. Brian Urlacher, Bears Hall of Famer, will join the tailgate. Great to have Urlacher back in the mix. We're going to talk college football later today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Niners game right off the bat. We're going to talk about the game last week on Saturday, which is one of those games you'll remember for the rest of your life. A lot of football to get to. Went through the NFL scoreboard today, as we always do. But I was just thinking one thing. I was looking at some notes I had. I actually take some notes, Tyler. A year ago today, I was sitting in this chair, and I think Robbie Triano was on the other side of the glass. And the lead in Chicago that day was the Bears had just lost 10 in a row, including, I think it was that December 26th game. They lost 6-3 in that ugly mess to Seattle that put a bow on that 10-game run. A year ago today, 4-12. Today, 11-4, and a spot in the playoffs with two games to play. How many times do you have a spot in the playoffs with two games to play? Can you remember?
Not very many.
Not very many. I could count them on your fingers. It's a surreal turnaround in 365 days. And we're going to talk about the other turnaround in the NFC North, the Lions. Some coincidence there. Ben Johnson leaves the Lions. Where are the Lions today? Where are the Bears today? Urlacher coming up in 20 minutes, but let's get to it. The lead this week in Chicago was the comeback. I don't know if that game has a name last week, the Bears-Packers game. Maybe the comeback. I don't know what you call it. It had the onside kick. It had overtime. It had a game-winning throw, all in one game, not in one month. You go into Christmas off that Packer win, and it's like a haze. If you're a serious Bears fan, as I always say, if you're listening to this show on 7 a.m. on a Saturday, you must be. This last week must have been just a haze, and in a good way. You can't believe what happened the other night in Chicago, in that game, in that weather. I woke up last Sunday morning like I was on something. It's like what a kid must wake up on Christmas morning. You wake up after a Bear victory like that, and you're like, did that just happen? I actually went downstairs at my house, 7:15 in the morning, and rewatched the last fourth quarter of the Bears-Packers game on NFL Network. And I'm watching it, and I know what's coming up. But I'm like, they're not going to win this game here. 2 minutes left with an onside kick that, 7% of them were converted. It was really wild. And it's that kind of game that just stays with you short-term, long-term. I listened to the score all week, and I heard Carmen, I heard Lawrence, I heard everybody on the station saying, this game has, like, staying power. If you're of a certain age, if you're an older fan, and you invoke the 85 Bears, there are games from that year that you'll remember, the 44-0 beating of Dallas. And that was a blowout. But to beat Dallas in that way, that game is memorable for a long, long time. And so the Bears' next game, let's get to it. Paul Papp, 670 the score. This is the tailgate. Sunday night, 7:20 p.m., national TV again. A lot of national TV for the Bears at the 49ers. Now, about 3 months ago, Bears 49ers, Bears fans would have thought, this is great. Fred Warner's out. Ayuk is out. Purdy's out. Mac Jones isn't that great of a backup quarterback. Tons of it. Bosa's out. Tons of injuries. I'm telling you, in September, everybody jumped off that 49er bandwagon. That Fred Warner injury, the great middle linebacker, was like the icing on the cake in the wrong way. People bailed. But Mac Jones, the backup quarterback who used to play in New England, kept them afloat. But a couple months ago, having the Niners on your schedule late in the season would have been a good thing for the Bears. You know, if you watch that game the other day, you watched that 49ers offense absolutely dismantle the Colts on national TV. Phil Rivers kept the Colts alive, but Brock Purdy looked as good as you've ever seen him. And the other thing is, you saw Brock Purdy on national TV, standalone game. It's like, that was a reminder game of why he got $250 million plus by the 49ers. So when you watch that game and you see the 49ers offense, you're like, oh man, can I catch my breath a little bit after the Packers game? Can we have an easy one? Can the Browns come back to town? That'd be fantastic. But right as of now, the 49ers are favored by 3, 3.5, and the over-under in that game is 51.5. A lot of scoring expected. This is a seeding game. Both teams are in the playoffs because of a couple of losses over the past couple of days. So it's not must win, but I think for the Bears, it's must seeding win. You know, you don't want to go into the playoffs going on the road or facing the wrong team in the round one. So it's seeding for both teams. Looking at the scenarios right now, I don't know, Tyler, you can check my math here. The Bears clinch the NFC North with a Packers loss this weekend or a Bears win versus the Niners. The Bears clinch the number two seed with a Bears win against the 49ers or an Eagles loss to the Bills, which is possible. And then the Bears move into the number one seed with a win against the Niners and a Seahawks loss to the Panthers, which, don't write that off. Seahawks have laid some eggs this year. They'll probably win by 40 after saying that, Paul. But the Panthers are a decent team, and they very much need that game. So this is going to be a really interesting game, Bears 49ers, from a national perception, because for those nationally who don't believe in the Bears, and there's still a lot out there, we're going to get to that in a couple minutes. If the Bears somehow lay an egg against the Niners, don't come back like they've done every week, basically, for the past 2.5 months, it'll be a lot of I told you so. But if they pull off what they pulled off in Green Bay or win it in any way, it's going to force people nationally to look at the Bears and say, oh, who haven't they beat? What are you going to say now? So the Bears defense must step up, keep it close, like they did against the Green Bay Packers. And the 49ers defense is average at best. They don't have Bosa. They don't have Fred Warner. They do have some nice players. All right, 6-7 score. This is Paul Papps. This is the tailgate. 15 minutes from now, Bears Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher will join the show. I want to go back to last Saturday. We always do that here on the show. We kind of take a minute to soak in a win or a loss. That was as big of a game at Soldier Field as I can remember in the past. I don't know, maybe decade is overselling it, but it wasn't too cold. The winds were a problem. But one thing I noticed right off the bat, I'm sitting at home on my couch with a beer. I got the TV up, 75-inch flat screen. The fans were up and loud right off the bat. And I know what Grady Jarrett was saying and other people about challenging the fans. Fans showed up. Those Bears fans that showed up were loud. It sounded like a college game at Soldier Field. Really impressive showing. They brought the intensity early. First quarter back and forth. The Bears had that 10-play drive with 70 yards in the first quarter. And I was like, oh, man, they're cruising. They are cruising. And then that snap, Dahlman bad snap, that trick play. And it's like that trick play had a hangover effect. And for the next 2.5 quarters, the offense really didn't do much. It finished 6-0 at half. Bears defense did enough to keep the Packers out of the end zone. One thing that did happen in the first half is Jordan Love gets knocked out with a concussion by Austin Booker, the defensive end. Side note, Austin Booker having a really nice second half of the season. We talk about the Bears needing to find more pass rushers. They may have found one. Give this guy a full offseason to get ready. But that hit by Austin Booker, I'm going to try to be objective here, not a Bears guy or a Packers guy. I also work on the Dan Patrick Show. We try to cover things nationally. That was a hit that probably should have been flagged. And it was. It was helmet-to-helmet contact. I don't think Booker put on his notebook, hey, make sure you take out Jordan Love with a concussion this week. You don't get to the quarterback that often. And when you get to the quarterback these days, you have to change your hit. You have to lead with your shoulder, or you have to pick someone up and not land at him. That penalty was called as well. This is a guy who's been in the league 2 years. He's probably hit the quarterback 15 times in those 2 years, and I may be overselling that. He's not J.J. Watt. He's not Myles Garrett. He's not an 8-year veteran that knows how to do these things. I'm not saying he's inept or not capable of it, but he's kind of new at this process. He comes there. Jordan Love puts his head down. They go helmet to helmet. Flag, great. Packers fans were acting like Austin Booker had a hit list, like an old Charles Martin towel in the Jim McMahon days. A great reference for those who remember. I thought it was an okay hit. But the bad news is Malik Willis is a high-end backup, a really good backup, and a guy who could run, more running than passing. And he did a really good job, not just replacing Jordan Love, making things tougher on the Bears. I thought the Bears had more trouble. Look at the stats. They had more trouble with Willis than Love. So Jordan Love gets knocked out. The fourth quarter, the Bears get those two tough field goals into the wind. A really nice work by Cairo Santos, who's had an up-and-down year. But to do those, to duck-hook those into the wind or fade those into the wind, but they don't get the second field goal in before the two-minute warning. And I was sitting there at home going, that might be it. You need every timeout. You need every usage of the clock. Now you got to do. You must do an onside kick. And I think everyone knows here, the onside kick over the past 10 years has been completely de-emphasized by the NFL, if that's the right word. They make you announce it. You can't do the run-up. It's down to under 8% of them. And it's basically like it's a last gasp of last gasps. You know, back in the day in the Super Bowl, was it Saints-Colts that surprised them by the Saints? That changed the game. You can't do that anymore. So look at that onside kick for a minute, because I really think that should be go down as one of those plays of the year. And it's funny that some of these plays of the year by not big names. Romeo Doubs, the Packers wide receiver, he hesitated. He actually, if you look at the replay, and I've watched it a dozen times as you have, he kind of backs up. He backs away from the ball. You're taught, you could ask anybody, I asked Clay Harbor the other day, you go towards it. You must jump on it and take the hit. The hit's coming either way. When Doubs goes backwards, all of a sudden, as it hits his arm and hands, you could see Bears entering the scene fast. They broke it up. Ball comes loose. Josh Blackwell comes up with it, who's had a really fun season. Should have been a Pro Bowl special teamer. And there you go. Drive down, fourth down, last call. Desperation pass to Jahdae Walker. His second career catch. I mean, to do that, your second career catch, it's like David Tyree in the Super Bowl with Eli Manning. That was his last career catch. That's as clutch as it can be for a young guy with a few game reps. And I love his celebration afterwards. I couldn't do that in a million years. I'd break an ankle, Tyler. Overtime, you get a pause to soak it in. Ben Johnson was right to play for overtime, not for the two-minute. Packers whiff on the drive. All they need was a field goal. The Bears have two good runs, first down, and then the play. And again, Tyler, I don't know if they've named this yet in Chicago. Have we come up with anything yet over the week?
I have there's a good text that just came in here a couple minutes ago. It might not have a name from the 815. It might not have a name, but I would call that one the Iceberg.
The Iceberg. I'm fine with that. Whatever name works.
Iceman, Caleb Williams.
The Iceberg, yeah. A crash landed on the Packers. So Caleb drops back, and I was like, oh. And I didn't really see the streak pattern by DJ Moore on the other side of the field, because you can't really see the wide receivers. One thing I noticed in the play, and he's not going to get much credit, Durham Smythe, the backup tight end, he had to block a blitzing linebacker, and he blocked with his elbow, and then he grabbed the jersey, and that was a pure hold, and he didn't get called, God bless him, because if he doesn't even just chip that guy, he absolutely de-cleats Caleb, and that ball never gets off, or it's fluttered into the wind. But when that ball's up there, and you see DJ Moore, and he really didn't have much more than a step on the defender climbs on his back. That should have been PI. He catches, he rolls over, and the ref immediately signals touchdown. I think the entire city jumped out of their seats. I know I did. My daughter and I were jumping around the living room like it was Christmas Day and she was opening presents. And it was just a surreal ending, because a lot of game winners mostly these days are field goals. And you'll take them. You don't grade game winners. But you have a walk-off touchdown pass, a deep one, by DJ Moore, who's been a little frustrated maybe more a month ago than now. It was like all is well in the world. It was like one of those Hallmark movies. It was just fantastic. And the ref signal touchdown. The place goes berserk. I watched that play about 20 times after the game. And I don't know if you guys have the same feeling. 670 score, Paul Papps here, tailgate, Brian Urlacher coming up in 10 minutes. You ever have a game that's so good you don't want to go to bed? when that Bears game ended, it was late. I live on the East Coast most of the time, and I didn't want to go to bed. My whole family was like, that's it, we're going to bed. I'm like, are you kidding? I'm watching SVP. I'm going to watch NFL Network. I'm going to watch Marquee. I'm going to watch whatever I can to see more coverage of this. I stayed up and watched the coverage for another hour just to see post-game interview with Ben Johnson. I didn't want that feeling of that game to go away, and I think you guys understand what I mean. You don't get those that often as sports fans, as Bear fans, whatever team you're a fan of. So I went to bed. I get up the next morning. I open my eyes, and I was like, did that just happen? Did that really just happen last night? I went downstairs again at 7 in the morning, turned on NFL Network, and rewatched the fourth quarter in overtime. And it was like, I still couldn't believe all those plays happened. I watched the onside kick, and I see the mood in the stadium just change. It was really, really fantastic. All right, coming up today on The Score. Man, that was a good riff, man. That felt good. I love that. I love that Bears game from last week. Today on The Score, this afternoon, it's Texans at the Chargers, AFC clash from L.A. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Kickoff at 3:30 on The Score and the Odyssey app. Then tonight, Bulls on a nice little run. Bulls host the Bucks at the United Center. Ooh, I had to go to that, Tyler. Pre-game coverage, 6:45, tip-off at 7 on The Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Heli Forklifts. I got to get one of those forklifts. All right, let's get to it. The Bears next few weeks, 49ers away, Lions home. 2 months ago, that Lions home game to end the season, you're thinking, well, that's going to be a really interesting game. The Bears might be at 9 or 10 wins, and if they could beat the Lions, who will probably be the NFC North champions at that point, maybe they could sneak into the playoffs. If I told you 2 months ago the Lions would be out of the playoff picture after an embarrassing loss, and the Bears would be playing for the number one seed in that game, nobody would have believed that
I would have said you're crazy.
You're absolutely crazy. But that just shows, look, the Chiefs aren't in it. The Lions aren't in it. That was my Super Bowl pick. The Lions, honestly, on this show, and a lot of people's Super Bowl pick in August. And so the Bears next month, you secured a playoff spot. Thanks a lot to Aaron Rodgers, by the way. He should get like a playoff share if the Bears win the Super Bowl. And it's just been a really fun time. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the national reaction to Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson because it has changed over the past few months. But here's Ben Johnson a couple days ago talking about his relationship with his star quarterback, Caleb Williams.
We both have the same goals. You know, we both care deeply about this team. We care deeply about this city. And I care deeply about his success as well. He understands that now at this point. And you only get to that by spending a lot of time together. And that's been what we've been focusing on in the spring and all the way up until now. Every single day, we're spending one-on-one time, quality time together to where we can be very transparent with each other. And I think what I've grown to love about him, and I hope he would echo the same thing. I think we're mentally very similar. We share a lot of the, you know, same competitive drive, and we think very much the same way in a lot of regards.
Yeah, that's great. That's what I want to hear from my coach and my quarterback. It also is a shout out to last year when you heard stories about Caleb Williams not spending much time with the offensive coordinators or the head coaches. Caleb Williams had a cut, and I'm not going to play that clip, but he talked about it, and it was played all week. If you listen to The Score, if you like the Bears, you heard Caleb Williams talking about, I had a lot of doubters and so on and so forth. And a lot of people nationally were jabbing that. They're like, Caleb, you won the Heisman. You're the number one pick of the draft. It wasn't everybody against the world. I think those people are just reading the headlines and not thinking about what Caleb had to say. Because earlier this season and in the offseason, a lot of people, nationally mostly, jumped off the Caleb Williams bandwagon. I could check receipts. I mentioned before, I think Colin Coward 9 weeks ago said Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson would not work out, period. Not might not, would not. A lot of people bailed. I think Caleb is polarizing. I think his style of low completions, big games at the end are easy to criticize. You know, but I go back to, you know, a lot of people like that completion percentage thing with him to critique. I looked up Josh Allen, one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the NFL. His second year, he was a 58% passer. He had 20 touchdowns and 9 picks. He wasn't lighting the world on fire. A year later, he had 37 touchdown passes and was top 3 quarterbacks in football. That was year 3. We had some patience with Josh Allen. Go back to John Elway, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. John Elway's career quarterback percentage was 58%. Now is a different era. But you got to be patient. Let this stuff play out. And plus, I'm more concerned about how my quarterback plays in the fourth quarter than sometimes the first. NFC North, I want to do a second on. We talked about the Bears. The Packers are in the playoffs thanks to the Lions and other teams that put them in. But Jordan Love, their quarterback, is out. Concussion protocol. The really good news for the Packers is Malik Willis is as high end of a backup just about as you get, like Mac Jones out in the 49ers. The Lions, if you would have, again, if I'm a Lions fan right now, I'm borderline despair. 2 years ago, you were a half away from making the Super Bowl, a Super Bowl you'd been favored in. Last year, you were a little further away from the Super Bowl. This year, you're out of the playoffs. You lost both of your coordinators, including Ben Johnson, to a rival. Jared Goff looked like he forgot how to play the position the other day. He's had a couple stinkers. I still think he's a very good quarterback. You got Jahmyr Gibbs. You got Penei Sewell. You got Jack Campbell. They've got lots of talented. Aiden Hutchinson. But man, if I'm a Lions fan, I'm like, where was our window? Is our window closed? Is it still open? We got Amon-Ra St. Brown, a lot of people under contract. But what happened this year? Why are we not in the playoffs? I'm a Lions fan. I'm absolute despair. Vikings, weird win by them. They're using a quarterback who's like fourth string, Max Brosmer. They won with like 50 yards passing. They forced a you know what load of turnovers. And if I'm the Vikings, I feel better than the Lions right now. Of course, their team's not as talented, but that's where the NFC North is. All right, coming up in 10 minutes, 8 minutes from now, Brian Urlacher joins the show. I do want to do a couple minutes on the upcoming games for this weekend. Today on Saturday, I just told you, Texans at Chargers, that's interesting. Both playing for playoff seedings. Ravens at Packers. Lamar Jackson's future with the Ravens is iffy as we speak right now. Cardinals at Bengals. Brutal season for the Bengals. They're 5-10. Steelers-Browns on Sunday. I'm not sure how good the Steelers are, but they might be good enough to win a playoff game. You know, they don't have T.J. Watt back with that murky injury that he had, but their running game is really good. And you got to say it, Aaron Rodgers is playing some of his best football of the year. Jaguars versus Colts. Nobody believes in the Jaguars, but they're 11-4. They're kind of forcing the issue. The Colts are 8-7, and they're probably going to miss the playoffs. They were 7-1 at one point, and we're talking about Daniel Jones as an MVP candidate and Jonathan Taylor as an Offensive Player of the Year candidate and what seed they would be in the playoffs. Now they're probably going home. Buccaneers, Dolphins. Buccaneers had every chance this year. They're probably going to miss the playoffs. Dolphins are 6-9, messy future, probably replacing their coach. And they, Tua Tagovailoa, they owe him $50 million next year. He's going to get $50 million from them whether he plays or sits the bench. Patriots, Jets. Patriots are a little banged up, but they should wallop the Jets. Seahawks, Panthers. Again, Seahawks must win this for home field. Panthers could do the Bears a big favor. Hey, the Panthers did the Bears a big favor a couple years ago with that trade. Why not just keep going? Keep the good feelings from Carolina coming to Chicago. Giants, Raiders, loser gets the first pick of the draft. And Crosby, Max Crosby, their great defensive end, they're sitting him for health reasons. They're tanking. The Raiders are tanking. I don't have to say, I'm not the first person to say it. They're organizational tanking by sitting good players to try to lose this game to get the number one pick of the draft.
Really quickly, dude, did you see they put Brock Bowers in IR and there was no injury designation?
Yeah, they'll make up like a hamstring. They're going to take it because the NFL doesn't really ding these teams for this kind of stuff. That's a tank. And then you got Eagles-Bills, which is surprisingly a big game this time of the year. A little bit more about seeding. Bears-49ers is the late game on Peacock. And then Rams... Falcons, again, could do the Bears a solid on Monday Night Football. All right, coming up, let's chop up college football playoffs, the morale meter, my Bears game prediction, and we're joined by one of the all-time Bear greats, Hall of Fame linebacker Brian Urlacher joins the tailgate. That's next, 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, 670 The Score, live at The Score studio. Sun coming up over my shoulder. What a glorious weekend ahead. Bears again on primetime Sunday night. A lot of college football today. A lot of pro football today. I'm in a great mood. My mom's 82 years old. She's texting me Bears stats. She goes, "Do you know Josh Blackwell is from Duke?" I'm like, "Yeah, Mom, I know he's from Duke." Gotta love your 82-year-old mom. I'm going to see today. Go see your mom. Talking Bear football. Coming up in a few minutes. 3 minutes from now, Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher joins the tailgate. Bears Pro Bowlers. I'll do a second on that. Joe Tooney makes a Pro Bowl. Drew Dahlman makes a Pro Bowl. Kevin Byard, well-deserved. Deshaun Wright not making the Pro Bowl is nuts. Anytime a player plays out of his mind and has a breakout season, they generally make the Pro Bowl. Don't know how he didn't make it. You know one guy who's having a good week? Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles brought in Joe Tooney and Drew Dahlman, and they're going to the Pro Bowl. And the running game is top five in football. Man, has the heat against Ryan Poles completely cooled down the past 3 months. That guy's on full scholarship, man. I would drive him to the airport right now. I'd pick him up from the airport at like 6 o'clock on a Saturday. College football coming up. Let's recap last weekend. Alabama comes back to knock out Oklahoma. Miami outlasted Texas A&M in a slugfest. Ole Miss rolled Tulane, and Oregon rolled James Madison. The college football playoffs coming up on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Miami at Ohio State. Miami's got good defense. Don't know if they have enough offense to stay with Ohio State. And then on New Year's Day, which is a top three laying around eating, watching football day of the year, maybe number one, Oregon, Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. That should be fun. Texas Tech's really good. Alabama versus Indiana in the Rose Bowl. Indiana has a real shot here. As we've been saying all year on this show, the surreal run by Indiana, they have a chance. Alabama is not a great team. They're a good team. Indiana can beat them. They have a better quarterback. They have a better defense. They probably have a better running game, and Indiana's role can continue. Ole Miss versus Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, that should be a battle. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, you're listening to Tailgate 670 The Score. Let's get to it. This guy and I have some history. I work on the Dan Patrick Show, and every couple of years we have Urlacher in studio, especially at the Super Bowl. And I'll put on the helmet, and I'll take a hit from Brian. He decleated me once, I think, in Atlanta a few years ago, but I'm okay. I was in the protocol. Let's bring him in. Chicago Bears Hall of Fame linebacker Brian Urlacher on the tailgate. Brian, we're going to get to the 49ers game in a second, but I want to go back to last Saturday. You're at home watching the game, 5 minutes to go, and the Bears are down 16-6. How are you feeling about their chances and what happened right after that?
Not what happened, I'll tell you that much. What an incredible, that's probably the best football game I've seen all season long. The Rams and the Seattle game was pretty good. Thursday before. But that game, just because of the rivalry and the situation, I think the magnitude of the game is such a big deal. But the resiliency that the Bears have shown all season long, you know, they get down. It doesn't matter. They're never out of a game. That quarterback, that dude's awesome. Man, he doesn't give up. He makes all the throws. He does things athletically that quarterback shouldn't be able to do.
You know, the kick by Santos, you know, then the 2-point conversion.
The bender?
The bender.
I know.
And then you get to the onside kick, which there's like an 8% chance of
never
happening.
Get them.
And then you get downfield, and a rookie who is catching his second pass of his career. So many things had to happen. But that all is based off what's happening on the sidelines with the coaching staff and the players keeping themselves involved. What do you think was going on the sidelines when that's playing out?
They're prepared for every situation. That's pretty obvious that Ben Johnson has them prepared for everything going on. They never look disheveled or like out of sorts, maybe a little bit. But I thought the field goal took a little bit too long. I was hoping they'd get the field goal off before the 2-minute warning, but it didn't matter. In the end, it didn't matter. They got the onside kick, and it actually worked out perfect. But they just never look like they're unprepared. They're every situation they look prepared. They look like they don't look like disheveled or like out of sorts at all ever.
Were you ever on the onside kick coverage or return team in your career in the pros?
No.
I was going to say.
I feel like I should have been on the hands team, but for some reason I wasn't on there, and I wasn't on the onside kick. Maybe my rookie year I was on the onside kick team, but I don't remember ever doing it.
I know you probably wanted to be on the return team. All right, Brian Urlacher joining the score, 670. This is Paul Papps of the tailgate. All right, the defense this year is known as a unit that gives up yards, gives up a decent amount of points, but lives off the turnovers. It's an easy segue to 06 when you were playing. In that 06 season when you played and all the guys that you played with, you were turning the ball over from the other team all the time. Pick sixes, take it to the house. Is that happened in training camp that the defensive coordinators say, hey, we're going to try to make these plays? Or do you think it's more like it builds as the season goes along and everyone wants to get in on it?
I think it's a mindset. And then once you start doing it, people start believing it. And Lovey preached that from day one when he got there. We're going to take the ball away. That was his thing. We did it even his first year in 04 was his first year, 04, 05. We had takeaways. You know, we weren't very good that year, but we had a ton of takeaways, scored on defense. And every year after that, it just kept building. But I think once you start instilling that as a mindset in your team, that's all you think about is the ball, because that's the most important thing.
When you see this defense doing it this year, is there one player that stands out that's like, wow, that guy is standing out to me? Or is it more like they're all ball hawks?
You know, Tremaine's had a great season. I like linebackers, obviously. Byard's played great. I think he's got 4 or 5 picks. You know, they did most of the taking away without Johnson. Jalen Johnson didn't play a lot. They've been banged up in the secondary all season long, which is amazing. But they've still got so many takeaways and made so many plays. They've been so banged up, and now they're starting to get healthy. Who knows how good they can be?
I think a lot of people national people who don't believe in the Bears yet, even still, think that takeaways are unsustainable and it doesn't. And eventually it's going to stop. But what do you say to that type of criticism?
It may. I mean, if you've done it they've done it every game, you know, and even the games they haven't got takeaways, they've still won. So they can win without getting takeaways, you know. I feel like that's the same thing that happened when I played as well, when they were like, oh, they can't keep getting these takeaways. They can't keep returning kicks for touchdowns. We kept doing it. You know, it's just kind of a way of doing things. It's ingrained in what they do now.
Going back to when you played, I was looking at some clips, and there'd be often times where someone would make the tackle, like Tommy Harris. Then you would go in and you go for the ball, not the tackle, and you try to strip it, punch it, whatever it may be. Peanut Tillman, we all know about that.
Yes.
It seems like Nashawn Wright and other guys are living like that. If the tackle is halfway done, I'm going to take the risk because there's that kind of upside. How dangerous is that, though, when you were like in 06 to think of that kind of mentality?
It's not dangerous. If you have this, if someone has a tackle secured, you go in and try and get the ball. I think that's just smart football. I don't think there's any risk to it at all. You know, I think once the tackle's secured, like I said, you got a guys going there, and they're running to the football, man. Those dudes, you look at the end of the play, the Bears have 7, 8, 9 guys at the football. You're not going to miss a lot of tackles doing that. And when the ball does come out, you're going to get those fumbles.
Brian Urlacher, former Bears Hall of Fame linebacker, joining me, Paul Papp, 6-7 the score. When Caleb Williams drops back and throws that pass, are you a yell at the TV guy? Are you a jump and throw your drink guy? What was going through your mind?
Well, it was 11:30. I was at our house in Florida watching it, so I was like, oh, man. But I was just like, man, I wasn't sure he caught it, honestly, at first. I was like, because it looked like it hit the ground. I was like, oh, they're going to review this, and it's going to be overturned. So I was like, just hold on. And then once they confirmed, I was like, man, enjoy yourselves, guys. Have a good time. Have a night tonight. You guys earned it. I have never seen Soldier Field, and I played a bunch of pretty big games there. I don't remember it being like that. I mean, people had the towels waving them around on TV. Just looked unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that at Soldier Field, especially since I retired. But I don't remember it being that big when I played either.
Brian Urlacher joining us on the show. When you played a lot, obviously, against Brett Favre. I think there's a little of Caleb Williams in Favre and Favre in Caleb Williams from the standpoint of they like the tougher play sometimes. They may not take the easy and take the tough. Do you see that in Favre, and do you see it in Williams?
Well, Favre, he can make every throw, and I think Caleb can as well. You know, his arm is so damn strong. I guess I didn't realize how big of a cannon he had when they drafted him. I realize now, obviously. But yeah, Favre, like, you see the check down right wide open, but there's a guy back here that may break open. Favre's like, screw it, I'm going to throw it in there. I'm going to get it in there. I can make it in there. Caleb has that as well, but he's not turning the ball over.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a big and I love Brett Favre, but there were some picks throughout his career. We know that. Caleb doesn't turn the ball over. You know, he may, maybe because it's the velocity he puts on the football. I don't know, but he doesn't throw a lot of picks and doesn't turn the ball over at all.
Yeah, and I think when you played against Favre, did you ever and your defense ever try to bait Favre?
No, they're too good. The quarterbacks are too good. You know, you can talk about, people can say they did. Bull. It's too darn hard. And Brett was too good. He was too smart. You're not baiting anybody. You know, if you get a pick, it's because you made a good play or he made a bad throw.
You blitzed a lot in your career. When you see a guy like Caleb Williams, the line is way, way better. But even when a guy breaks through, his escapability, how tough is that when a guy can keep a play that around that long?
The thing he's doing is extending plays to throw the football. He runs when he needs to, but the dangerous thing, and this is what Aaron Rodgers always did a lot, was they extend plays to throw the football down the field. That's where they get dangerous, and that's where you get the big plays. You know, those running 15, 20 yards, those hurt you as well, but man, it's the ones that where they extend it and throw the football down the field that really hurt you.
It's not over yet. Brian Urlacher joining us, 6-7 The Score. This is the tailgate, Paul Pabst. Brian, when coming up tomorrow night, the 49ers still got Christian McCaffrey, Purdy's back. Kittle's having a fantastic year. They're not getting a lot of coverage. What type of offense do you look at them as far as the danger standpoint?
They run so much misdirection. You know, anytime you have Christian McCaffrey back there and Brock's healthy again, Shanahan does a great job with the misdirection. You know, I can't imagine playing against that offense because you got the guys motioning, you got, you know, the ball snapped and there's two guys running behind the guy. It just changes your eyes and where you need to be looking every play. So, and they've done a good job every year. I think people are maybe not giving them so much recognition because their defense has so many injuries. They got a bunch of guys out. Fred Warner's out, who's probably one of the top two middle linebackers in the NFL.
Awesome player.
Yeah, great player. He's out. So maybe they're not getting the recognition they normally get, but they're still winning football games, and that's really all that matters.
Going back to 06, you made the Super Bowl, and a lot of people had similar criticisms of the Bears. Like, it's not sustainable. This defense can't do it. How? Simple question. How does this Bears team win the NFC and make it to the Super Bowl?
They've run the ball really good. I think that's a great key to win football games in December and January because the weather's cold. Everywhere you go, it's going to be cold if you're outside. So they've ran the football the second half of the season better than anybody. Just keep doing that. Don't turn the football over. Protect your quarterback. And Caleb, just keep taking care of the football. You know, he's done a good job in these big games. But they are going to keep – the takeaways aren't just going to stop. You know, they're a good defense. They're going to keep getting takeaways. And I think the more pressure you get on quarterbacks, the easier it is to take the football away.
All right, a couple of things before we let you go. I know you got family coming in town.
Yep.
When was the last time you were at Soldier Field?
2018 when that dude missed the kick versus the Eagles.
Dude,
the guy shanked it off of the upright.
Can we get you back if there's an NFC title game?
Oh, that'd be awesome. I don't really prefer to go to the cold weather, honestly.
I hear you.
But you know, I root for him. It's been such a fun season, watching from afar, finally, and kind of getting back in the loop a little bit. Watching these guys has been so much fun.
As a Hall of Famer and a Bears Hall of Famer, I do want to ask you quickly about the stadium situation. I don't want to get into the weeds with it, but more so, wherever the stadium is, I advocate that it's open air or at least a retractable roof. I don't see you as a dome guy. Are you a dome guy?
I am so against having a dome. I think that would be the worst thing because the one advantage we have playing in Chicago is the weather. Use it. You know, we know that as players, and people don't want to come play at Soldier Field when it's cold in the winter months. It stinks. It's cold. We like it because we feel like it plays for our fans. Like it. Number one, it's a big deal. I just cannot see them ever going inside. It takes away the one advantage we have.
Good to have your backing there. All right. Again, I work on the Dan Patrick Show, Paul Papp, 6-7 The Score, with the great Brian Urlacher. You and I have some history.
We do.
I'm glad that you're on a Zoom right now. So you can't hit me.
You got smacked.
I check back my notes. You've hit me three times on the Dan Patrick Show. The first two times you were kind of nice to me. The last time you kind of gave me this cross arm to the chin when I had the helmet on.
We're doing a pass rush move, right? Or something like that. And I think I slapped you in the head, the head slap.
Yeah.
You asked for all three of those.
Well, it was an honor, Brian. But I wasn't in the protocol because I passed all the side tests in the blue tent. So,
oh, good. You went in the tent.
Yeah, so I'm fine if we go to the Super Bowl this year and you visit the Dan Patrick Show. I, if you're ready to come out of retirement, I am as well.
Well, I'll give you just for the pass rush moves. If you're wearing the helmet and if I'm in a warm environment, I will definitely give you some pass rush moves again.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. Last thing, as you could see by the Zoom, I'm getting a little light up top.
I got no problems. I got no issues, Paul. I know.
Your hair is Hall of Fame worthy.
It's like thick. I know. I fresh off a haircut too. Yeah, it's
I could use some tips for the future. The wife says, can you get the Urlacher going? And I don't
know.
It's
easy. It's right there in Chicago. There's a phone number you can call. Restore. Go see Restore. It's easy.
And I could drop your name and I'll get front line.
I know. I'll give you the guy's number. It's easy. The owner, Hair Jordan.
Hair Jordan. I think that's his actual name on his person. Brian, it's great to chop up some bears with you. It's great to have you back on the show. Take care.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it, man.
That was a lot of fun having Brian Urlacher on the tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst. It's a lot to chop up there. I tried to block Brian Urlacher three times on the Dan Patrick show. He hit me one time. I was seeing stars for about 15 minutes, but what an absolute thrill as a Bears fan. Bears got to get him back at Soldier Field. He hasn't been back since 2018. That's something. I've heard different things about relationships here and there with Chicago and Urlacher and the Bears. I hope it's all good. Someone like David Hall may know more about this inside than I do, but the Bears host a playoff game. Invite Urlacher back. I think he'd love the invitation. I think it'd be great to see him on the sidelines with his hair in the breeze. Get ready to crack somebody. All right, coming up. 3 and out, the morale meter, my Bears game prediction, and all that coming up. This is the tailgate, 670.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
You're supposed to be a professional.
We'll work harder than anybody to win. But man, when we're dead tired in the fourth quarter, winning's got to mean more than just money.
You're hired to do a job.
Job! Job! I don't want no job. I want to play football. I want some feeling. I want some team spirit.
This ain't no high school. You don't have to love each other to play.
It's just what I mean, you bastard. Every time I call the game, you call it a business. And every time I call a business, you call it a game.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on the tailgate, 6-7 Score. I am Paul Pabst. Home stretch here to start your football weekend. Early odds coming up. Inside the clubhouse coming up. Texans Chargers right here on The Score coming up. Christmas gifts. Tyler, I heard you got a Caleb Williams jersey of Christmas. You were a good boy this year.
I did.
That's fine. Your parents are dipped into the wallets. You got your real Caleb Williams jersey.
You know what? I'm in now. My two previous jerseys, they were traded away. Oh, so no. I'm hoping third time's the charm.
What were they? What traded?
I had I still have them. Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack.
Oh boy. Well, you got to keep them. Here's a quick jersey story. When little Paulie Paps was a kid and I liked other players, of course, I was a Bears fan, and I liked Dan Fouts, really good quarterback of the Chargers. And I told my mom, I go, Mom, any chance you can get me a Dan Fouts jersey? I had a Peyton jersey and I think I had a Hampton jersey. So little Paulie Paps is under the tree, waking up, and I open the thing, the rustling of the tissue, and I look, and it's green, and it's gray. My mother bought me a Ron Jaworski Eagles jersey. She went to the store and got confused, and I wanted Dan Fouts, and she got me Ron Jaworski. The kicker is, I met Ron Jaworski years ago, told him the story, and he loved hearing it. A couple things I want to get to off Brian Urlacher, who joined the tailgate about 10 minutes ago. If you missed it, grab the podcast after the show. You know, a lot of back and forth between Packers fans and Packers media and Bears media and fans this week. And they were like, oh, the Packers are like, you know, we beat you for all game and then you got lucky at the end. I said this the other day. I don't remember Vince Lombardi saying, guys, go out there and give them hell for 58 minutes. It doesn't matter how you win. You don't judge victories in December and January.
look, a lot of people think the Bears' run is unsustainable with these turnovers. It is, in theory, but it isn't as of now. It got them to the playoffs. They're going to the playoffs. You can't revoke that. They're going to the playoffs based off a good running game, a developing quarterback, a good offensive line, and a very opportunistic defense. Sound like 06? The quarterback's better than 06. And you should never apologize on how you win. Bears fans should never be like, oh, that was a lucky win. There's no luck. Luck is when a call that shouldn't go your way goes your way. Man, you luckily that the refs did that. But when Nashawn Wright goes down and rips the ball at Jalen Hurts' hands, that is a fantastic football play. There's no luck there. Josh Blackwell being in the pile and getting that onside kick, there's no luck there. That's just a great play. Can you sustain that? Not for years, but can you sustain it for four more games? Four more games would be great. Your defense gets opportunistic for four more games, and weird teams have won big things. Go back to 2011. The New York Giants lost six of their last eight games. They snuck into the playoffs on the last day of the season. They were 9-7. They went on to win the Super Bowl against Tom Brady. That was Eli Manning. A 9-7 team that shouldn't have been in the playoffs beat Tom Brady in the title game. And they did it again a couple years later. They snuck into the playoffs, the Giants, with Eli Manning on the last day of the season. So Eli Manning has two Super Bowl rings. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame based off two runs that they squeaked into the playoffs. That's fine. No one asked Eli Manning to give those rings back. They don't ask him about the Hall of Fame. You know, Eli, you're 9-7 that year. Don't think you should be in the Hall of Fame. You should be in the Hall of Fame. One other side topic. We've got to get to three and out. The Chiefs are leaving Arrowhead to build an antiseptic cookie-cutter stadium in Kansas. I'm trying to keep my hope up here, but when all is said and done, I really do think the Bears stadium soap opera, I think they're going to build a similar bland monstrosity in Arlington Heights, and it's to be covered. And the fact that the stadium will be domed probably bothers me actually more than the move. Even Brian Urlacher said, I can't believe the Bears may be in a dome. Jason Garrett, the former coach, was on the Dan Patrick Show the other day. He said, you can't have a dome. You got to be outside in the elements. All right, let's get to it, Tyler. Three and out. Three rapid-fire football questions. You give them. I don't know what they are.
All right, here we go. Number one, what is the biggest storyline from this 2025 Bears season?
The running game. No one expected them to have a top five running game. We would have been satisfied with a top 15 running game. You bring in Drew Dahlman, Jackson, Tooney, Kyle Manungai. Remember, during the draft, you didn't draft a running back. If you have Pro Bowlers at the offensive line positions, you don't need to overspend on a running back. Swift and Manungai have done a very good job this year because the line is very, very good. Go ahead.
Number two, the Titans and the Giants are currently the only two head coaching vacancies in the NFL. Which other teams will join them this offseason?
I think the Raiders will. I don't think they're going to fire Pete Carroll. I think they're going to allow him to resign because he's a legendary head coach, a very good guy. I don't know if they could stay with that, especially if they're going to go with a brand new quarterback. The Atlanta Falcons look like that job could be open as well. Disappointing, a lot of talent down there. I would say those two, there'll be more, but those two for sure.
Interesting. The Atlanta one's going to be an interesting situation monitor. And then finally, number three, you kind of touched on it earlier, but who will win in next weekend's upcoming college football playoff games?
Who? Let's see the schedule here. I got it right here. Ohio State, Miami. I don't think Ohio State's going to get that much of trouble. That Miami defense is pretty good. I actually like Texas Tech more than Oregon. Oregon lit up the other day. They really lit up James Madison, but that's James Madison. Texas Tech has a fantastic defense. I do think Indiana's going to get by Alabama. A lot of confidence with Indiana. Alabama is good. Great comeback they had against Oklahoma the other day. And Georgia Ole Miss, man, I like the Ole Miss offense. I think Ole Miss is going to advance. There it is. 3 and out, 6-7 the score. I'm Paul Papps. That's Tyler. We're going to wrap it up for the week. How's morale? The morale meter we do every week on the tailgate. Bears fan morale, it's 1 to 10, as we do in the business. It's 9.1. It's a team that you still have concerns about with, can they keep it up? But that's a fine thing to be. If your biggest problem as a Bears fan is where to watch the Sunday night game because your team already has a playoff spot, you're having a good Christmas. You're having a good holiday. I'm going to pick Bears, Niners. The 49ers look fantastic. The Bears had a lot of issues offensively in the first 55 minutes of that last game against the Packers. I think they're going to clean it up. I have the Bears winning 31-30 on a field goal in the final 30 seconds. Right on cue. It's going to be a bit of a shootout. And you got to control Brock Purdy. You got to control Kittle. That is the tailgate for week 15. As I said early, whatever happens in January, the past 3 months have been a fantastic ride. It's been great to be here on the score for all of it. So as a sports fan, as a Bears fan, Comeback wins of every type. Enjoy the ride. It's great to be in the city all week. Soak it in. Go to a pub. Watch some college football. Watch some pro football. I'm Paul Papps. Talk to you next week. This is a tailgate. 670 The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.